diving forward, diving to the goal line. A touchdown and a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. And a silver trophy is coming back to New England.
You're listening to the Naked Bootleg Podcast with Evan Lazar and Adam Kirkchen.
This is unequivocally the sweetest.
Welcome into another edition of the Naked Bootleg Podcast presented by the Boston Herald. We are finally back after a little short hiatus. I'm a little tanner than I was before. Got some nice sun rays and all that stuff. Adam, what's been going on with you?
Not much. Just getting ready for the draft, watching a ton of film, and doing the odd article here and there. So I'm ready to get back into it.
Yeah, everybody go check out Adam's mock draft. He shares it with me, and I give my thoughts on it too. And your last one that you shared with me, I don't know if it's published yet, but that seemed pretty spot on as to what I kind of think is going to happen.
I think I'm in my fourth iteration of the mock draft right now. And since I sent you that one, I've changed it again. But, that one will be out the day of the draft. So the hardest part of this mock right now is figuring out how the quarterbacks are going to fall. Right now, the way I'm doing it is without trades, and that's pretty unrealistic because I feel like both the Bills and the Dolphins are going to – maybe the Dolphins, but especially the Bills are going to try to trade up. You could see the Cardinals try and trade up. You know, like a lot of these teams who might want a quarterback are going to try to look to trade up. And you've heard reports that Denver might want to trade back, that Indianapolis might, and that the Giants might. So, this rotating, and we don't even know really still who the Browns are going to take, even though a lot of people are saying they're going to take Josh Allen. So, so that top of the draft is going to change a lot of stuff. But I still think the Patriots are going to have a couple guys that they've already identified for their picks at 23 and 31. But, you know, there's so much left to happen that it's almost still too early to really have a good idea of what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterbacks is really the wild card, and really the guy that – I think everyone's going to talk about Josh Allen, but we both love Lamar, and he is like the wild card of all the wild cards, right? Because it really depends on how much a team falls in love with that guy, because he could go from being a top 15 pick in this draft to falling maybe all the way out of the first round. If the teams in the NFL think differently than we do, I doubt it. But if they do, then, you know, it's a complete wild card, because then it becomes a bidding war between a bunch of teams towards the back end of the draft that might need quarterbacks in the future, you know, Jaguars, Saints, Patriots, teams like that. So it can get really interesting really fast with Lamar Jackson. So he's the guy that, you know, is basically the one that everybody has circled, because you think that Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, Josh Allen are probably all going top 10. So it's really there could be five, maybe even six quarterbacks, depending on how this falls, if Mason Rudolph can sneak himself into the first round. Right. So it's gonna be fun. But today, what we're gonna do is we're gonna look at the edge class, the interior defensive linemen. We kind of, some of them I think are interesting, but we're gonna mainly focus on the edge guys and the linebackers. And then early next week, we'll also have something on the defensive backs with Jonah Tells, the ND scouting. I'm excited to have him on, and we're gonna look at the corners and the safeties. And then Adam and I will also give our final impressions of what we think the Patriots are going to do in this draft at some point before the draft. So hopefully we're going to have basically either two or three shows coming out before Thursday here, and we're going to get into all of it, and it's going to be great. And then we finally have the draft, and then afterwards Adam and I will obviously be here to break that down and see exactly what they did, and probably study a bunch of new guys, because they'll probably pick dudes that we've never heard of, and we'll go from there. But let's get right into it here. with these edge defenders first. Let's start with the pass rushers. Obviously, I think the Patriots are going to get some guys back in this position or in this area of the defense that are going to be difference makers, but I still think it's a pretty big need and something that they're going to be focused on and trying to add some playmaking ability to the front seven. Let's start with Ohio State's Sam Hubbard, who's a guy that basically just looks like he's a Patriot. Checks a lot of their boxes, a lot of their, agility times and three cone drills and stuff like that. They put heavy emphasis on at this position. Hubbard checks all those boxes, but what are your thoughts on him?
Well, when I watch him, I really like his hands. And that's a thing that'll come up a lot when we talk about some of these guys. It seems like he's got very active hands. He does a good job of swatting blockers away from him with the offensive lineman's initial punch. I think he's a very I hate to use this term because it's so overused, but I love his motor. I mean, the guy's always going. He chases plays down from behind a fair amount. He's really smart when it comes to maintaining his gaps. When he has to and setting the edge. And I think he's not necessarily the best athlete that we're going to look at today, but I think he gets the most out of what he has. And I think he's a smart football player. And, when you talk about, somebody who can both, defend the run and rush the passer pretty well, I think he's a pretty complete player.
Yeah, that's a good synopsis, a good two-way player, which is something that the Patriots obviously put a further emphasis on, I think, than other teams, is can this guy really, set the edge against the run and rush the passer at the same time? Is he going to be able to be effective at both things? The Patriots do something, and this has kind of gotten some talk recently with guys that are more just, screamers off the edge, pin your ears back type guys. The Patriots like their defensive linemen to rush while focusing on the offensive line, not on the football, so that they can tell whether it's a runner or a pass quicker. So that basically puts the pass rusher a step behind at times on the pass rushes, why sometimes you don't see the Patriots accumulating a ton of sacks in a season necessarily until maybe some garbage time sacks start to pile up. So the thing with Hubbard is he's a great two-way player. And also, you said about his hands, I agree with. And one thing that, I noticed is that he was very, very close with the Bosa family down there at Ohio State, especially Nick Bosa. And those guys taught him that two-hand swipe that they love to use, that Joey has basically, made all-pro teams essentially using, or almost, or Pro Bowls at least. And, he basically has adopted that as his go-to move. And you watch him and you're kind of like, this is kind of like a poor man's Bosa. He's not quite as explosive and quite as athletic as a Joey or a Nick Bosa, but he has that similar style of play to him, and he's been taught a similar way of playing because he's been in that system the same as them. He's quick. Obviously, that three-cone time showed up pretty good. But my two concerns with him that I wanted to ask you about were, one, how much do you knock him for, being a big-time producer on an absolutely stacked defensive line?
Yeah.
Because, I think one thing that, you kind of look at when you watch him is that they pay a whole lot of attention to the other guys on that defensive line in some of the games, especially Bosa, Nick Bosa. And Sam Hubbard gets to, kind of just run free sometimes and make plays in the backfield. Like, there's plays where you can look it up against USC. I posted on Twitter one play where they tried to block him with a tight end. Like, this guy's right. Like a future first round pick, and they're trying to block him with a tight end. It's not going to work out too well. So I think that there is some worry about the fact that, he was surrounded by a ton of talent on Ohio State, probably the best defensive line in all college football last year.
Yeah, I think there is something to that. I still like what he brings to the table when he is going up against a good tackle. And I don't think he's necessarily a guy that's gonna, beat two guys when he's put up against them. Like, whether it's a double team or, beating a tackle and getting a chip from a running back. But yeah, there is something to that. I mean, that's on the one hand, you like seeing film of some of these guys on great teams because they're usually going up against good teams. But right. on the other hand, there's so many other guys. Like, I feel like that's why it's sometimes so difficult to evaluate guys on Alabama, you know, yeah. on either side of the ball, because there's so much talent on, I mean, that it's like, well, is he, you know, like, for instance, with we're going to get to this with Rashawn Evans a little bit. You know, I love him. I think he's a very good linebacker, but he's got monsters in front of him. So it's not like he's taking on a ton of blocks all the time. So, right. So there is that with Hubbard. I think it's not a huge issue with him, because I still feel like his basic physical attributes and the way he plays the game are something that will translate to the NFL. And also another thing I remember was I watched him at the Senior Bowl. And he was very productive in the Senior Bowl. He made a bunch of plays and sort of lived in the backfield. So, you know, I feel like he's going to have a pretty good NFL career. Is he going to have sort of the upside of some of the guys ahead of him, like a, you know, like a Bradley Chubb? Like, no, I don't think he's on that level. But I think he'll have a good NFL career.
Yeah, I think that one thing that, you know, to kind of speak to him playing with a stacked defense is that he's very capable of playing his role and not playing outside of that role, which is something I think the Patriots are going to like a lot. You know, he's not the best athlete out there. He's not the most explosive guy out of his stance, but he's going to do his job very, very well on the edge. And he's not going to, you know, try to be the hero and break out of that mold. So I think that that's something that, the Patriots always look for in their guys. All right, let's talk about another potential first rounder here, who's someone that I just absolutely love. I think it's going to be a long shot that he's still on the board by the time the Patriots are drafting. That's BC's Harold Landry, who could just stay right in Boston and be a pretty damn good pass rusher for the Patriots.
Yeah, I like Harold a lot. He's a big, powerful guy when you look at him. I mean, he's like, in terms of a physical specimen, and he's very fast around the edge. I think that's the one thing that sticks out to me the most. I do think that, you know, when it comes to, you know, a bunch of his secondary moves and putting everything else together, he's not quite as advanced as some of the other guys, because it doesn't seem like he's needed all that other stuff. He can get by on how big and strong and athletic he is for a lot of these pass rushing moves. But I still feel like, you know, some of that stuff he can pick up along the way in terms of, you know, fundamentals and getting better at some of those things. So, I like what he brings to the table. I think he'll probably be gone by the time the Patriots pick, or, you know, but I think he could slide to a spot where, you know, they could move up just a couple spots and pick him. I think he could even fall to like the Lions at 20. So, you know, I think, you know, he's a, you know, if they get a chance to pick him, he's worth it. He's a terrific pass rusher. I know he didn't have a standout, you know, senior year compared to what he had his junior year. But I mean, I don't think there was any way he was going to match that because he was, you know, dominant his junior year. So, so I think, you know, he's a guy with a very high ceiling. He's a guy whose ceiling can match a guy like Chubb's. He just didn't have a great year this year.
Yeah, so basically you're going off of two things. You're thinking that, one, he was hurt, which is true. He was definitely banged up last year. And two, maybe, you know, he had such a good 2016 that he kind of knew that his draft stock was going to be someplace in the first round regardless, and he kind of, you know, didn't have as much motivation to maybe go out there and do it all over again. But I think that, you know, the one thing that I noticed with him is two things. Obviously, the get off is elite. You know, his burst off the snap is really, really good. He's super fast around the edge. But the one thing I always look at with these edge rushers, and this is why I think that he's just the best pure pass rusher in the class. Bradley Chubb's the best defensive lineman in the class, or best defensive end at least. But in terms of just pass rushing skills, his bend around the edge is just exceptional. I mean, the way that he can really take the fastest avenue to the quarterback and really bend around tackles is, you know, you don't compare the guys to Von Miller lightly, but he gets a lot of Von Miller comparisons because of how quickly he bends around the edge. And it's a rare skill to have that. And then the other thing is, you know, he has that speed around the edge, and then he has one of my favorite pass rush moves is his counter, which is the long arm. And he just puts that arm out there and controls the defense of the tackle, and that's basically a move that Khalil Mack has kind of brought to the NFL in more recent years and become a star using it as well. So although I do agree with you that maybe you know, he could have a wider repertoire of pass rush moves, in terms of just pure pass rush skill and talent and get off and bend and all that stuff, that the scouting terms that you hear people talk about when it comes to these guys, I mean, checks every single box. So if you're a team and you think that you're getting 2016 Harold Landry, you're probably getting like a top 10 talent in this draft if he's that guy. So the question is will he fall to the Patriots? I don't think he will, because I think a team in the top 20, at least maybe even in the top 15, is going to believe that he's going to be the guy that he was in 2016. I think that's pretty fair to assume that he's probably going to be something close to that guy. All right, let's get to some of the mid-round guys now, some guys that probably outside of the first round, but I still really, really like both of these guys. And let's go with the Rutgers guy, because, you got to have one Rutgers guy. He's the one Rutgers guy I think that they really have a chance of drafting this draft, and that's Kamoko Ture, the defensive end from Rutgers, who I watched a second time yesterday. I watched him a first time a while back because of, you know, the obvious reasons that he would be connected to the Patriots. An explosive guy from Rutgers is kind of fits everything that they really need right now. But I watched him again and I liked him even more. And I really am excited about this guy if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I like him a lot too. He's a tremendous athlete. The games that I watched, he was productive in pretty much every one. Like, even like Ohio State, where they're totally outmatched. I mean, you talk about Hubbard being surrounded by, like, you know, all this NFL talent, now that would take away from him. I think it's sort of like the opposite with Ture. I mean, he doesn't have the type of studs around him, and you could concentrate on him, and he's still, you know, making plays. I think he's got pretty good quickness, you know, and I think he's got good athleticism. It's the funny thing that I found about him is that they dropped him into coverage quite a bit. And he was not bad at all there. No. You know, I think especially for a guy at his position, he was pretty darn good. So I like him a lot. I think he's a very underrated prospect. The only thing I worry about is, like, you know, I guess he's not like a huge guy. You know, like he's sort of thin. So you wonder if, you know, if he puts his hand in the ground, is he going to be as effective as if he's like sort of standing up? Will teams be able to run at him? You know, so, but I think, you know, and will he be able to, disengage from a NFL tackle with long arms and stuff like that. So, but I think, you know, in terms of what I saw on film, I mean, the guy can really play. He gets in the backfield very well. He's just like quicker and faster than a lot of the guys that have a chance to block him.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the fact that, you know, a lot of these guys, and we're going to talk about one a little bit later on that I think is pretty similar to Ture, and that's Lorenzo Carter. A lot of these guys are very, very twitchy and fast and explosive, but they don't produce. Ture produced. You know, when you watch the games that he played in, he's getting sacks, he's getting tackles for loss, he's making tackles around all over the field, and his pursuit speed is really good too. So I definitely do question and worry about his play strength. I think that's going to be a big issue. He's not that big and he's not that strong right now, and that's going to be something that he's going to have to develop if he's going to play like a strong side linebacker, outside linebacker type role, especially in a Patriots type scheme where they really rely on that. But in terms of his explosiveness and his athletic ability, I mean, it is noticeable just watching him. You can tell that he's, you know, more athletic than the guys around him, and then he actually delivers by making plays. So that's a really good sign to see. And also the coverage ability, I think, is massive, because that means that maybe he can play some Sam in the Patriots system and drop a little bit in coverage and play some linebacker, which I think is something that they would love to have in a new type of player that has a little bit more athleticism on the edge. Someone I think that, you know, they think that Derek Rivers is going to be, but maybe Ture is kind of a guy that they double down on Derek Rivers with and make sure that, you know, they have that position set if Derek Rivers ends up being, you know, quite frankly, he could be a bust and we have no idea at this point. So I think that the thing that I love about Ture is that you can really see it, his fit in the Patriots system, and how Rutgers' defense and their scheme is extremely similar, which is, we already knew that, and that's why it's kind of become a pipeline for Patriots defensive players, especially secondary players. But now maybe we have a guy in the front seven that could do sort of the same things. They asked their outside linebackers, defensive ends, edge defenders, whatever you want to call them, they asked them to do a lot of the same things that the Patriots asked their guys to do. And you saw Ture on tape do it at a really high level, you know, all season long, when he was, at least when in the games that he played. The injuries are a major concern. He's been hurt a lot in college, a lot of shoulder injuries already, stuff of that nature. So we'll see if he can stay healthy for, you know, entire NFL season, which is probably why you're going to be able to get him in like the second or the third round instead of a little bit higher, because his upside is as high as anybody in this draft, I would say, that isn't, you know, a surefire first round pick. If you're going to get this guy in the second or third round, then you have a chance to get a Pro Bowler on day two of the draft, which is, you know, pretty rare. So I really like what I saw with him on tape. He has a lot to learn. You know, the feel for the game and stuff like that isn't necessarily there, and his plan is not necessarily there as an edge rusher all the time. When he's rushing the passer, sometimes you see that he just kind of doesn't know what to do, and he looks a little bit lost out there. But I think that's stuff that, you know, is all coachable and fixable. All right, the next guy here is kind of the total opposite to Ture in a lot of ways, and that's Duke Ejiofor, who's just, like, ready to play right now, I think. And
yeah,
he has maybe the strongest hands of any draft prospect that I've scouted over the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's the fun part about watching this guy's film, is he swats guys' hands away with such force. It's almost and it's crazy how effective it is. You would think a lot of guys would try to do that. They're just not as good at it, because his hands are, like you said, are super strong. I mean, it's almost comical how easily he gets into the backfield sometimes.
You know,
a guy will try to block him, they'll just like swat, and he's back, and he's in the backfield. He's super impressive. I love watching him play. You know, I don't know as far as weaknesses goes, you know, if he has, you know, some of the size of some of these other guys, but, you know, I think, you know, he's another guy who might not, who's probably not going in the first round, but can end up having the type of sack production at the next level that some of these other guys will have.
Yeah, I mean, he's not as heralded as some of these other guys, like you just said, not going to be a first rounder probably, but I think he's just going to be a damn good NFL player. He really knows how to play football. His football IQ and just like kind of what he puts into the game is what you want to see. From what I understand, he studies a lot of film, and he studies other teams' tackles and their tendencies, and figures out how he can then combat them. He's like a game plan guy, right? He's right. Changing up his pass rush moves, and he's changing up his counters and stuff like that game to game to combat whoever he's playing on that specific week, which is, you know, great to see. And also, you know, the hand usage is just utterly awesome. I mean, his hands are super strong. He can do a lot of different things with them. He has a great spin move where he just, you know, it just absolutely burns guys and tackles are grasping at air. He reminds me a lot of a quicker, lighter Dietrich Wise. You know, he has that same feel to his game, You know, same hand usage, long arms. That's kind of where he's going to win. He's not necessarily going to be super explosive or twitchy, or he's not going to get off super fast, but he's really going to be able to leverage guys, and his IQ and his detriment and just kind of his makeup is going to really go a long way into rushing the passer. I think that, like, out of all these guys, except for Landry, I'm like the most sure that Ajayi Afor is going to contribute on an NFL team. You know, and I like all these other guys too. I just think that if there's anybody that I would pick out of the group that we just talked about to, you know, at least play a role and be in a D-line rotation at the next level, then Ajayi Afor is the guy that I would say is the most surefire thing, because the way that he works at it, the way that he perfects his craft, the amount of pass rush moves that he has at his arsenal, it's pretty impressive. But the thing that I would worry about would mainly be his size. He's just not that big.
Right.
He's definitely undersized. He's probably going to be best suited as to play kind of standing up as an outside linebacker. I think if you put his hand in the ground, he might get pushed around a little bit. And again, coming back to, you know, something that we talked about with Ture and all these guys, the Patriots are going to ask this guy at this position, this edge rushing position, to set the edge. And I think Duke can do it because he's a really smart football player that understands leverage and you can use his hands to leverage situations. But I would also worry about him kind of getting pushed around a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the size is the one thing when I watched him, even at the college level, where he was not the biggest guy at that position. So
yeah.
So yeah, I think that could be a problem.
All right. So the last one here, I don't know if he's an edge rusher or a linebacker at the next level necessarily, but he's kind of a tweener, so we'll talk about him next. And that's Lorenzo Carter, who has a ton of first round buzz for the Patriots right now. And I am not as high on him as a lot of other people. So maybe, Adam, if you are, you can tell me I'm wrong. But the only thing that I really see that I love about this guy is that he plays the game at a faster pace than everybody else. Like, you turn on the tape and when you watch him, especially in those good games that you can watch him in, his play speed is definitely on a different level.
Yeah, I mean, well, I get a little frustrated watching him because, you know, you watch the Notre Dame tape and you're like, wow, this is an all-pro
right
caliber player. He's all over the field. He makes plays everywhere. And like you said, his speed is off the charts. I mean, in terms of athleticism, you know, you can't get better than what Lorenzo is. However, then there's games where it's like, where is he?
Yeah, I wrote that down. I said he's just a guy sometimes.
Right, and that's inexcusable given how talented this guy is.
Yeah.
So so I don't know how much of that you can coach out. You know, I don't know if that's how they used him, if he wasn't asked to do certain things. I don't know, but I see somebody who, if you put him on the edge exclusively, I think I find it very hard to believe that he wouldn't be really productive.
Yeah,
there's certain things. I don't think he's as good off the ball. I don't think he's as good you know, when he's dropping into coverage, even though he's got the athleticism for it. So I think he's just sort of a frustrating player, because again, like, that Notre Dame film is as good as it gets for any of these guys we're talking about. Like, he dominated at times in that game. And then you watch some of these other games, like, and it's just like, where's the guy? So
yeah, I mean, even like the games in the college football playoff from this last year, you know, it just is like, he's just another guy on the Georgia defense. Oh. And granted, it's a really good defense, obviously, with a ton of NFL talent. I get that. So some of these guys like a Roquan Smith and stuff like that are showing out, and it's kind of easy to get lost sometimes, it seems. But when you're watching his games, I mean, you're specifically watching one guy. It's not like I'm watching Roquan Smith when I'm watching Lorenzo Carter all that much. So it worries me a lot if you're going to use a first-round pick on this guy, that he is just wildly inconsistent and he just disappears for long stretches. And basically what you're drafting him on in the first round is athleticism and the flashes that he did show. You know, when you look at like Pro Football Focus's rankings, and they really tend to stick to what their grading was during the season and in the college football season. They had him like 14th out of edge defenders in this class because of the fact that he's just from down to down, he's just not there. Right. And that, you know, really would worry me in the first round. A pick like him reminds me a lot of like if they pick when they pick Jamie Collins, where they're just picking a guy that it flashed has super, super elite athleticism, and they think that they can just mold him the rest of the way. But the problem with Carter is that unlike Collins, he was a highly recruited guy when he went to Georgia. He was a five-star recruit, and it never worked out for him in Georgia either. So yeah. We've kind of been waiting for this to happen with Carter for basically since high school, and he never has really had it happen. It's never really all come together. It's kind of like the thing with Josh Allen where it's like everybody just thinks his accuracy is just going to get better in the NFL level for no reason. You know, it's kind of like everybody just thinks that Carter is going to all of a sudden be this down-to-down producer that's going to have this crazy production. Now, do I think that he could have individual games where he has like a sack, a fumble, and an interception? Like, definitely. Like, that's kind of what we saw in the Notre Dame game was kind of along those lines where he's just dominant. That's definitely possible. I just think that, you know, if you're going to use a first round pick on a guy, I want a guy that I know is going to show up every single game. And it's scary to me to think that they would take a guy in the first round like Carter. It's basically in my mind, and I know this is harsh, but he's essentially like the Colton Miller of the defensive prospects that everybody's been talking about. You know, right. He's just the raw athletic guy that, you know, maybe when it all comes together is going to be able to do it. Now, there's some versatility that I like to his game. I do think that he's better on the edge, but he could play off ball, which is nice, especially, you know, in more sub packages. Maybe they drop him more a little bit into coverages and stuff like that. So the two things that, you know, you kind of come back to with him are one, he does flash. Like, they're dominant flashes, and that play speed, I mean, sideline to sideline, there's nobody faster. Even on Georgia, like, him and Roquan Smith were pretty much equal in that regard in terms of pursuit speed and stuff like that. So there are positives to his game. I just think that, you know, taking him in the first round, it might be a little bit of a reach.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on now to more of the off-ball linebacker guys that we know are going to play off the ball. And we'll start with the two guys that basically I think it's going to come down to one of these two guys right now, barring any unforeseen slides. And that Rashawn Evans, we'll start with him, Alabama linebacker, who is basically a cookie cutter Bill Belichick style linebacker.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think the first thing that jumps out is how smart he is. He's always putting guys in the right position. He's in the right position himself. I think he's a great form tackler. I think he's a good athlete. I think he just simply knows how to play the game. He's a good blitzer. I think he's better on interior blitzers like we talked about than he is off the edge, but he's not bad off the edge either. You know, the only thing like we talked about was, you know, He played at Alabama with these absolute monsters in front of him. So it's not like he was taking on a million blocks. I mean, if you're comparing him to Van Der Esch in that respect, Van Der Esch did not have the defensive linemen in front of him that Rashawn Evans did. So, but Evans, look, I mean, he's somebody that you can put in the middle of your defense and he'll take care of every call. You know, he'll be somebody who, you know, can really run your defense for however long he's healthy. So I like him a lot. It's really hard to find flaws in his game. I think he's good in coverage too. I think he's just not somebody who's, you know, if you match him up one-on-one with like a slot receiver or one of those faster running backs, that he'd probably be able to run with. But as far as zone drops and everything like that, I like him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a dominant coverage player. You know, they're not getting a Deion Jones type of player with Rashawn Evans. They're getting more of an old school thumping linebacker. But I think that what it's good about him is that he does have that old school flair where, like, when he brings those A-gap blitzes, he reminds me of Hightower a lot because he just absolutely murders running backs. Like, those poor running backs in the SEC probably are still hurting from some of the blitzes that he delivered, where he just will go right through guys. So that part of his game is a little bit more old school, but I think he's a little bit leaner and a little bit better in space than a guy like Hightower. So it's kind of a combination of the two things, which is kind of nice. So it will allow the Patriots to kind of stick to their formula from how they use their off-ball linebackers and have him be a thumper and have a guy that sheds blocks and sticks ball carriers in the run game and can blitz through the A-gaps and maybe rush on the edge a little bit in sub-packages. All those things are kind of what the Patriots like their linebackers to do. But Rashawn Evans is a little bit leaner, a little bit more athletic, a little bit more new age, so that they have a little bit of that sprinkled in there if they pick him, which I think is a nice kind of compromise, if you will, because I don't think that they're just going to all of a sudden go and pick up a 225-pound linebacker and change their philosophy completely. Right. So Evans is kind of an in-the-middle type of guy, which is nice. But yeah, in terms of his play recognition, I love it. Just shedding blockers and sticking guys. You can find on tape plenty of instances where he'll shed a block and then he'll just go and you know, tackle the running back and really eat him up. And then obviously those blitzes are like elite. I mean, that's really good. So if I had to kind of, you know, have a pro comparison for him, I do kind of think Dont'a Hightower is pretty close to what the skill set that you're going to get. You know, he can rush a little bit on the edge. He can blitz. He can play some in coverage and at least hold his own and probably not be a dominant player in that facet, but at least not be a liability. And then obviously in the run game, he's going to be, you know, a good tackler and a thumper and a guy that's going to be able to make some plays. So I think that him and Hightower would be a nice combination. They'd obviously have the Alabama background together, that, and I'm sure Hightower, who is, still vocal about his Alabama allegiances to this day, will love to have another, you know, Bama guy in the locker room at his position, and would definitely take Evans under his wing and teach him, you know, the Patriot way and show him how things are done and have him on the field pretty quickly. So there's a lot to like about Evans. I think that all the guys that we've talked about, period, if somebody I had to pick for them to pick a 23, I think we all would agree at this point that Evans is probably the most likely. I don't know what percentage that is, but it's, you know, it's a high percentage that this guy's going to be a Patriot. And and I think that, you know, it would be a nice addition of still being able, like I said, still being able to, you know, have some of the old school stuff that they like to do with their linebackers, but also having a guy that's a little bit more athletic, a little bit leaner, can run a little bit better. I just wish his combine was like slightly better. Like, it was fine. Like, it was passable. He definitely didn't, like, hurt his stock or, you know, slide out of the first round or anything like that because of his combine. But it wasn't, you know, he definitely, his movement skills were an issue at the combine a little bit. And you kind of, you know, can start to question it, whether or not he's going to be able to hold up big time in coverage or not, or if he's really going to have to be more of a blitzer, edge rusher in coverage situations and then, you know, stop the run from off the ball. All right, let's talk about Leighton Vander Esch, who obviously I'm on the record plenty saying how much I love this guy. I just think that he's an absolute beast. I mean, the size-speed combination is super rare. He just kept on getting better at Boise State. Only 1 year of real starter-level production, but by the time we got around to that Oregon Bowl game where he just flat-out dominated from start to finish, probably one of the best tapes of any guy that I've watched in this draft.
Yeah, I think, like you said, like you hit on with the size-speed combination, and that's really big. I mean, he's, what, 6'4", 250-something, you know? I mean,
he moves like a tight end. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and so if you're talking about a guy that, you know, you want to have cover tight ends in certain instances, he's your guy. I think he drops, but I think his drops in passing situation are good. He sort of knows where to go and finds the passing lanes pretty well. And like you said, and like you mentioned the other day, his height will be so beneficial when he's playing in a zone because it's harder to throw over him. And it's not like he's just tall. He's got good length in his arms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, when it comes to defending the run, he's very stout. You know, he fills his gaps really well, and he's, you know, he doesn't get fooled very often, and he really just has, I think, good instincts, and they're improving, like you said. He hasn't hit his ceiling by far yet. So whereas, you know, like we talked about a little bit, like where Evans, you feel like you sort of you don't know if he's gonna get as much better as Van Der Esch is gonna get. Like Van Der Esch, yeah, I feel totally. Like, you know, is still he's still on the incline. So
Evans is the guy that you're gonna get. Like this is that, and it's a good player, so it's not anything against him, but he is at his ceiling probably right now. Could he maybe improve, you know, in terms of leadership and getting a little smarter on the field? Maybe, obviously, with more play, but, like, he's already pretty good in that area. So, I mean, I don't see Evans being, you know, his athleticism, his functional athleticism improving a ton. LVE has all of the functional athleticism that you need and hasn't really played a ton of football. So he's just going to keep getting better. And you know, the thing that I think that is just crazy about him is that in one hand, you know, he can sneak through the line of scrimmage, play with great pad level, get low, get skinny, and then make a play in the backfield on a running back. And then on the next play, you can see him covering a tight end 30 yards down the field.
Right.
That's really rare. You know, that's not something that, you know, a lot of guys can do. There was one play against, I think it was the bowl game, but I'm not 100% sure. Where it reminded me, remember that Miles Jack play in the AFC Championship game where the flea flicker and he ran underneath it? It was a very similar play. There was no flea flicker involved, but basically there was a deep crosser coming across the middle from a slot receiver, and I think it might have been play action, and you just see LVE turn and put his foot in the ground and cut underneath that crosser and just completely take it away. And those are the types of plays that you're going to be able to see from him in coverage. I didn't see a ton of him manning up just in man-to-man situations against tight ends and stuff on the tape that I watched. I'm sure he's capable of doing it, but just didn't see it a ton. And then obviously in the run game, he's the guy, he's a weak side linebacker. He's the guy that's going to play off the ball and is just going to be able to chase guys around and really, you know, limit some of those runs with his pursuit speed. That's basically why at that point is kind of why I have him as the Patriots' top target outside of the quarterbacks, is mainly because they have been dying for somebody that can run and chase for a couple years now. Really, Jamie Collins was athletically that type of guy, but he was never really that type of guy in terms of his instincts and his ability. You know, it wasn't like he was piling up 100 tackles in a season when he was here. I think LVE has a chance to be that type of guy that's piling up over 100 tackles in a season because of his pursuit speed and because of the fact that he can really chase guys.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, it didn't seem like Boise State asked him to blitz as much as Alabama asked Evans to, but it doesn't.
Yeah, his blitzing is a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, but I still think he can do it.
Yeah,
I still think
he has all the tools to do it.
Yeah,
he's never really had a plan when he did it, and when he didn't just get a free run to the quarterback or against a running back in blitz pickup, when he did rush into the line of scrimmage, he just kind of rushed into the line of scrimmage and was lost in there. So that's a little bit concerning. Like in terms of you know, that versus Evans, it's obviously Evans that does that better. He's a much better blitzer right now than LVE. LVE is going to have to work on his hand usage at the next level if he wants to be a lead pass rusher.
Yeah, it was almost like he was a little tentative, like
Here. Had no idea what to do.
Right, yeah. But yeah, so I think either one of those guys, I'd be shocked if both of them were off the board by then.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether or not the Patriots move up to take a Lamar Jackson, which I would love to see, you know, but if they stay at 23 and one of those guys is there, I don't see how you could find fault with them picking either one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think LVE at 23 is a complete steal because you know, when you're drafting a guy, you're drafting a lot of on upside in the draft, and he's got one of the highest ceilings of anybody in this draft, I think. I mean, I don't think that he is going to be quite on Luke Kuechly's level, but he has Luke Kuechly type traits. And Luke Kuechly was just way more instinctive and way more polished at this stage of his career. So there's still more room for LVE to grow. And I also think there's more room for his body to grow too. He's definitely going to be able to pack on some muscle. He's still pretty lean and skinny as of right now. And I mean, this is a guy that was playing like 8-on-8 high school football. He grew up in a tiny town. We did a great Sports Illustrated 24-hour type thing with him that's coming out before the draft. I don't think it's out yet, but it'll be out soon, where we went back to his hometown with him in the middle of nowhere, and I think it's in Boise or someplace like that. And basically nobody recruited him. He got offered a walk-on spot at Boise State, and he always wanted to go there, so he said yes. He took the walk-on spot, and he went from 8-on-8 high school football to a first-round pick in the NFL. So that just kind of tells you all you need to know about his, you know, motivation and that type of stuff. So it was really his tape against Oregon. I would say Saquon against Iowa, that game, which is a nice segue into the next guy we're going to talk about. But that game, Saquon against Iowa and LVE against Oregon, I think are the two best games I've seen any prospect play on tape in this class. All right, so speaking of Iowa, our last one here is a guy that we both love. And for some reason, he's going to be a mid-round pick. I understand that he doesn't have first-round athleticism, but I would probably be comfortable taking Josie Jewell pretty much anywhere in this draft outside of the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I've loved watching this guy play. And during his college career, there are a couple Patriots who went to Iowa and that I asked about during the year. They love him too. And then when, you know, this time of year comes around and you get to rewatch him, he's even better. I mean, the thing that I love about him is he really knows what's going on before it happens. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like he goes into the offense's huddle before it happens, then comes back.
Crazy.
You know, there's so many times where you watch him where before the snap happens, he sort of edges over to where the play is going to be. Obviously with the combine, he ran that 4.8 40, which everybody was like, oh, well, that knocks him out of wherever. But, I mean, his three cone drill was like a 6.8.
Yeah.
And so it's not like he's not athletic. And the one thing I expected to watch when I saw his film and studied it a little more was to see a guy who, because he didn't have that great 40 time or whatever, sort of struggled in coverage. But that wasn't the case at all. You know, when he drops back into coverage and there's, you know, crossing routes, a lot of times you'll see a linebacker follow the wrong guy. But Josie does a great job of when there's two guys crossing, passing him off and following the right guy. And there's so many times where you're watching a team throw on Iowa where, you know, they'll expect a guy to run open around his area, and Josie sort of follows the right guy and they sort of pull it down and there's a coverage sack. And then, I mean, when you're talking about defending the run, there's almost nobody better in the country. I mean, he's all over the place. And one thing they don't really do is blitz him off the edge. But when it comes to blitzing him up the middle, he's also very good. And he does a great job of getting his hands up and knocking down passes. And when we're talking about, you know, great film, that game against Penn State, Barkley schooled him a couple times. I think there were two or three times where he just made Josie look silly on jukes and stuff like that. But otherwise, Josie was incredible that game.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, no matter where you pick him, I mean, you know, he's not considered a first-round draft pick, but he is every bit the producer at that level. And when I did the article on him that's coming out later next week, one of the things that really stuck out was his intangibles. Kirk Ferentz said he's the first three-time captain in Iowa program history. He was a captain as a sophomore. So, I mean, that's another thing that Bill Belichick would obviously love.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to like this guy. Like, his tape is great. His off-field is great. His leadership skills are great. I think he's the smartest defensive player in the draft. I think that in terms of just his football IQ and his instincts, I think it's the best of any defensive player I've studied in this draft. Dominant against the run, great inside blitzer, and also just like fundamentally flawless. Like never takes a false step, always wraps up when he tackles. His drops and, like you said, his zone drops are clean. His everything that he does is fundamentally perfect. It's pretty remarkable. And the other thing, you know, we've been talking about it a lot with him, but like there are just plays on his tape where he's beating the blocking schemes to the point of attack because he already knows the play. And it's pretty unbelievable. There's not a lot of guys, even in the NFL, that are doing stuff like that. Like Kuechly, Bobby Wagner, those are the types of guys that do stuff like that, why they rack up so many tackles. So even though he's not, you know, the most explosive athlete or doesn't have the best hips or doesn't have the best long speed or anything like that, I mean, in a short area, he is there in half a second. I mean, it is quick, and he already knows where he's going, and he's never fooled. So he just beats guys to spots on a regular basis. And then when you ask people about him, and you ask people that went to Iowa with him or played against him, football against him, you know, there are people that will say, you know, ask someone, Tanner Lee, the quarterback, they're like, who's the best player you played against in college? He said Josie Jewell. You know, like everybody has so much respect for this guy. Everybody knows he's going to be a good football player. The combine happened. He ran a 4.8. Every single analyst on Twitter, on the TV, was from Lance Zierlein to Mike Mayock. All these guys are just like, just throw out the 40. Like, this guy's going to be a great football player. Like, we know on tape he's a great football player, and there's no question in my mind that he's going to be a great football player. So I think everybody just knows how good this guy is. To me, I just can't believe that anybody could be considering him any later than the third round. You know, he's just a very, very, you know, polished, perfect football player at every level of the game. And there are some questions about his coverage ability. He's not going to be a guy that you're going to want to match up one-on-one against some a dominant running back, receiving running back, or anything like that. His hips are a little bit stiff. Saquon obviously, you know, showed that a couple times where they got him isolated on him in coverage situations, and it wasn't pretty. So there are some concerns there in terms of if you can, you know, if an opposing team can really exploit him and isolate him in a coverage situation, maybe that would be worrisome. But I find me a linebacker in the league where that's not that worrisome. I mean, it's like there's very few guys. It's really, that's the thing is, you know, we obviously want the Patriots are looking for linebackers that can cover. It's absolutely true. But in the league, when you really break it down, there's only probably about maybe 5-8 guys that can really cover down to down and not, you know, get exploited at all. We're talking like a Deion Jones, a Kuechly, Bobby Wagner, very few guys that can do it. And so I think Josie has more than enough other skills to do it. And if we're discussing like LVE in the first round versus Josie in the second or third, I could understand taking the Josie side of that argument.
Right. Yeah, I feel that way. I feel like, you know, look, if this is one of those situations where the Patriots use those early picks to sort of package and move up and get a quarterback, and then they wait around for a linebacker as opposed to getting Evans or Van Der Esch, then if you want to get your linebacker in that second, third round with Josie, then you're fine, you know? You're not losing as much as one would probably expect, you know, from the consensus or something. So I really feel like, you know, he's a good, you know, I don't think he's obviously, I don't think he's as, you know, as good as some, as like Evans or Van Der Esch, but like if you get him, he's somebody that's going to have a very long, productive NFL career for as long as you want. He's just, I mean, you can't watch him over and over. And it's funny, too. Like, the more you watch him, the more you want to watch him, because he's just so he's so terrific at, on so many different levels that he'd be a gem. So I think, you know, it's if he's there later on and you don't have a linebacker, you definitely take him.
Yeah, and at the end of the day too, he's going to come in and he's going to be a leader of the defense really quickly, really early on, and people are just going to gravitate towards the guy. So I think that kind of what you were saying, and we'll wrap up on this, is that the Patriots, in my opinion, they do two things at the top of the draft. Most 90% of the time, they're going best player available, right? Whatever position it is. But they do, I think, put into consideration positional value and where that stands in terms of contract and stuff like that, and how valuable it is to draft, let's say, a running back or a wide receiver in the first round versus drafting a defensive end. So I think that they put a heavier emphasis on the guys, obviously, that are at a more premium position. So there is a scenario, I think, where they can position themselves to stick to their best player available formula, and we might not see the run of defensive players that people and fans are kind of clamoring for, and we might see them take a quarterback and a tackle. You know, solely because those positions are so important, you know, and such a premium position in terms of contracts as well. So if you can get a guy that's under contract control for 5 years, that's a pretty good thing to have. And then you can kind of, you know, see them filling the defensive needs with guys like Josie Jewell or Kamoko Ture or Duke Ajayi for some of these other guys that we talked about today. So I think that that is kind of where, you know, this defensive line linebacker class is the sweet spot, in my opinion, is really in that second to third round range. Who's the guy that's going to fall to them in that range? And that way, I think that they could set up their board in a nice way to be strictly just taking the best player available at every spot.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. And I think, you know, the real question is how much you think they're going to package guys to move up.
Yeah.
Which, you know, how serious are they about getting Lamar Jackson or even, you know, as has been discussed, Josh Rosen?
Josh Rosen, the rest of the NFL they're going to be kicking themselves for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I kind of feel like there is kind of a good possibility that some of these guys can drop, but it depends on who trades up, like the Bills. If the Bills trade up, if the Dolphins trade up, if the Cardinals trade up,
right?
You know, that's gonna determine whether or not any of those guys fall.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see. You know, listen to the buzz, because even though some of it is all smokescreen, I remember Mike Mayock predicted that Aaron Rodgers was going to slide in that draft. If you know, and Aaron Rodgers came out, he basically said, "I think Aaron Rodgers is going to go 23 to the Green Bay Packers." 24 hours before the draft, and he nailed it. So every once in a while, you do get some real facts, and you know, see if one of those guys is gonna draft. But we'll have the defensive back show after this one coming out. We've done all the other position groups already, so go back and check out all of those as well. And then we'll have our final thoughts before Thursday for sure on what we think the Patriots are gonna do, and kind of outline a plan for them for the draft and whatnot. Adam, what else have you got writing coming down the road?
Well, I've just got profiles of five different position groups and a player each of who would be sort of a Patriots type guy. Tomorrow, I'm going to do Justin Reed from Stanford, the safety. Obviously, a guy that
that isn't Jordan Richards.
Yeah, it isn't Jordan Richards. A tremendous athlete. Got extremely high praise from his defensive backs coach, a guy named Dwayne Aquina, who coached guys like Earl Thomas at Texas, Chuck Cecil at Arizona. You know, this is a guy that knows what he's talking about when it comes to defensive backs. He's put over 30 in the league. So, and he loves Justin. So, and I think he's pretty good too. You know, there's other guys that we're going to be profiling. I will be profiling Josie. I talked to Kirk Ferentz about him. And, you know, so there's more of those. And then you know, when the draft day comes around, I'm still sort of tinkering with that mock draft.
Go check out my big board top 50, basically culmination of all the best guys that I think that I've watched over the last 3 months. And also I'm going to drop a draft sleepers, one last round of sleepers before the draft gets underway. Some guys that maybe will be on day two, late day two or day three guys. And also, I might, if I can squeeze it in, I might write something quickly on Luke Falk, because I think that he's a really polarizing prospect, a quarterback prospect. I've seen some of the local guys mock him to the Patriots, like, in, like, the third round, which, you know, I'm just not on that train. So maybe I'll do some film breakdown on him and kind of explain why I'm a little bit lower on Falk than some of the other people out there in the draft community. But until then, signing off for Adam Kirchin, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks for listening.